I'd like to say good morning to everyone. I'm kind of feeling like I'm kind of slow this morning. I'm kind of like I'm still waking up, you know, like I hadn't got there yet. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that age does to you. I'm very honored to be here to preach before you this morning and in Gail's absence. And, you know, I think you all will agree with me that we are very fortunate to have Gail as our regular preacher. And this, the work that he does, the evangelistic work, and how he encourages us. The lesson last week was so great being those that we rejoice. And, of course, that's the mindset that we are to have. And sometimes we have to press to that. Like this morning, I don't really have that feeling in my flesh like rejoicing. But there's reason to. And so, you know, I have to think on those things, those good things about our God, where it is that we can be those that would be so thankful for what he's done for us. I'd like to welcome all our guests this morning. Always welcome here at State Line. We thank you for having that mindset, that desire to be with us. I'm going to start reading this morning in 2 Corinthians in Chapter 12. Excuse me, that's chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? And so, examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And just looking at the fact that this faith that we have, it's a straight and narrow path. And so we want to always be in that. We have to look to ourselves and to sometimes reflect on our lives, the experiences of our life, and how it is that they affect us in the way it is that we live. If there's anything that we have determined within ourselves, sometimes we're not recognizing it, that we're a little bit out of the way of how we should be walking in Christ. Introspection, to look and see, you know, how our experiences might have molded our thinking in different aspects of our living and what we're doing. Nate read this morning, you know, the Lord knows what's coming out of our mouth before we even know it. He knows already, because he knows the inward workings of ourselves. And that's where it is that we are to seek to know. Generally, you know, I hope everyone examine themselves this morning, knowing that we're going to take the Lord's Supper, that we do that without unrepented sin, that we do that without unconfessed sin, so that we may be right before our God, and really recognizing and honoring what it is that he did for us and given himself to die for our sins. And so to examine ourselves, whether we be in that straight and narrow path, whether we are walking the way that we should walk. And I know that one of the things that sometimes I get lax in is in my prayer life. And I recognize it, you know, after sometimes it's a few days. And then I start to examine, you know, why? You know, why is that? And it's not that much of a deep examination, but it's just looking and see that, you know, that I've letting other things just get in the way. This flesh, just not thinking on God the way I should, not thinking of perhaps my brethren, needs of others the way I should, and not thinking of perhaps even on my own needs. I'm busy and my mind is on work. My mind is on, you know, just the chores, things that I got to do around the house, and the busy work, as Gail would call it, and those things can distract. And I see that sometimes, that I'm distracted from Christ. When I say that I'm not praying like I should, really I'm distracted from living as Christ lived, because he always prayed to the Father. He wants us to have a good relationship with the Father, and that's the way we have that relationship with him, when it is that we go to him in prayer, we speak with him, we fellowship with him in that way. We questing our needs, thanking him, giving him thanks for what it is that he's done for us, the things that we see displayed within his word, and the everyday things that he see that he does for us. We give him thanks for those things. And so we need to have that continually communication with one another. And when that begins to lag, then I'm spiritually affected because I'm drawn away a little bit from my relationship with God. So that's one of the things that I find that I have to look sometimes, like, you know, why have I not prayed the way that I have determined to? And so we search, as it says in Lamentations 3:40, we search and examine our ways and turn again to the Lord. That's what he wants from us. And so we'll find at times that in different things, maybe with you with something else, that you have to keep check on, and you have to search and examine your ways, and then, you know, turn back to become more diligent, to begin to exercise again in those things which are good and right before God. And he says to turn, in Joel 2:12, turn to me with all your heart. And that's where sometimes we have to go into the deep examination of ourselves, you know, so that we give all our heart to our God, and that we're not just living as a partial Christian, just living part of what it is that God has called us to, and maybe giving ourselves over to something within myself that is just of the flesh, that's just of this world, just concerns this world, rather than concerning the things of the world which is to come. Now, one of the things that kind of got me to thinking about this self-examination is a conversation that some of us men had a couple times. And it was about the concern that some have for, you know, concerning the government and what the government's doing. And, you know, that's an interesting conversation to me, because probably brother would probably discern that I do have a concern. I have a concern for government. Sometimes it probably comes out in something I say. It's not a concern. I'm not overly concerned with it is that, you know, that some people may lose sleep. Generally, I can hear about some things that may be done, and, you know, that's pretty bad, and I can still get that rest. And the reason for that is because, really, I'm in the kingdom of Christ. Right, we recognize as far as that what really matter is the government of Christ, and I'm in the kingdom of Christ. And so as I look and see all these governments of the world and how it is that they are, you know, talking about war with each other and talking about nuclear weapons and all that type of stuff, and it is concerning. But you know, being in the kingdom of Christ, I know who wins. I know which government wins out, and that's the government of God. And so then, you know, I can rejoice in that. And that makes me not want to, you know, perhaps take up arms against the government, or because at one time I did have that mindset. It's a long time ago, thank God. But it made me think, you know, as we had this conversation, as far as, you know, I don't want to be outside of Christ in this thing, in the way it is that I have concerns and for what the government may or may not be doing. I want to be, and we talked about, you know, Christ, how it is as far as that he, you know, wasn't so concerned. We don't see him any teaching as he went about here in the Gospels talking about, you know, the Roman government. You know, there was no concern for that. And so I don't want to be out of the way. And so I started thinking, you know, where did I begin to have a concern, you know, for government? And really, you know what? It goes way back, and with me, it goes all the way back to one of my earliest memories, because I would have been about 3 years old, and the only government I knew was the sheriff's department. And I remember being at my grandmother's house, me, my sister, my mother, my father, and my grandmother. And that the government had came in and ransacked our house. And my father was really angry about it. It's the first time I saw my father cry. And at that age, I knew the strength that my father had I've seen him wrestle with men. That day, my grandmother and my mother was holding him back. And I was thinking, they can't hold him. But he was holding back because I heard them say, if you don't stay in this house, they're going to kill you. And my father, I guess his education is probably better than what my kids and grandkids are getting today in mind, because, you know, when I went to school, they taught us about the Constitution. You know, they taught us things about, they even taught us about propaganda. And so I recognize it every time I hear it now, because they taught us about those things, and, you know, they charged it, you know, with Russia, and that's what they were doing, and they didn't want us to give into that. But I remember that day, and my father was trying to say they didn't have the right to come in and do that. But the thing about it is that Hilton Moore didn't care anything about whether we had rights or not. He was the notorious chief deputy of the notorious Warren Gator Johnson. And they could do whatever they wanted. And so that's my early experience as far as with government, because my father, he knew that they didn't have a right, and he was trying to tell them that they didn't really care. Now, they thought they had the right, and they would have the right if they had went through the proper process, because my grandfather did make whiskey illegally. And they had heard that about it, and the thing in that county is that nobody made illegal whiskey without paying off the sheriff. And so they were going to come, and if they found it, they were going to take it. So, you know, just in that early time, and I remember my father, he never learned. He was always talking about his rights. And I've seen him come home beaten and bruised because he wanted to uphold his rights. This Gator Johnson, they call him, and he had this little thing where I guess he made a noise like a gator. And he would come into places and he'd make this noise. And I heard about it as a young child. I saw it myself probably at about age 16 when he came into a place of a business and he made this noise, and most of the people there ran for their lives. They ran for their lives. I heard that he would say about people in my community, he would say, if I'm out hunting and I see a rabbit running, and I see one of them running, I'll kill them and let the rabbit go. And that's the type of, that's the government that I, that's my first experiences with government. So I think that as I examine it, you know, it's from my father and the way that he was and wanted to uphold his rights, and the way that the government was, they didn't care about, you didn't really have any rights. The people that you work for, they had rights, because even if you murdered someone in your community, but if your person you work for needed you to work, he could go and get you out of jail and bring you to the field, and you'd have to work. But if someone from my community stole something from the other community, then they would go to prison for a very long time. And so it just was, that's the thing as far as that government, that it just didn't, it's just, at an early age, it just hit me the wrong way. Had a family friend as a young child, I probably was around the age of 9, Charlie Ware. Just a great friend of the family. He loved me and my sister. Every time he would come to the house, you know, he would always bring us something. He would be glad. He'd just pick us up and love us. And we loved him. He was coming to the house to get liquor for my grandfather now. So they would go and get it from wherever. But, you know, he was a great family friend. And then this man, whom we loved, I loved so much, was shot in the chest 6 times, close range, by 38. By the Gator. His crime was that he was in love with a woman that someone that the gator knew who also had an interest in it, and he was told to leave her alone, and he wouldn't. And so he was shot 6 times in the chest. He survived. I never saw him again because he had to flee. He feared that he'd be killed again. That's about the same time that Robert Kennedy was assassinated. And I remember watching the news and seeing them talk about the fact that the one who shot him, that he was that he shot him with a high-powered rifle. And I thought at that time, I'm going to get me a high-powered rifle, and I'm going to kill the gator. Well, you know, in a year, I ended up in New York. But you know, that hate stayed in me for a long time. The way that I saw government treating my community is that it kind of steered me toward Marxism. And living in New York City wasn't, my mom determined that wasn't a good place for me. She knew what was in my heart. It wasn't going to be long before I had an M1 rifle and was wearing that black tam and that black leather jacket. And so she sent me back to Georgia. Sent me back to Georgia, and when I was in the back seat of my aunt and uncle's car, and who comes walking up? The gator. And that I could feel that hatred for him still there. But he had changed. He had changed, and he was now he's wanting to help people in my community kept him as a sheriff. He actually helped. I myself had gotten help from his son in situations that I had gotten in where I needed some help. So he changed, and eventually I changed. Kind of forgot about that. That's about the time when, though he still was a terrorist, he still terrorized the community. That's the time I saw him come in and, you know, people ran for their lives because they were still afraid of him. When I was about 25 years old, I worked with people who would not come through my county, even though he wasn't sheriff anymore. Hilton Moore was no longer the deputy, but people feared them. They would go all the way around and to the other county so that they could find another road through the bridge to go to a place that would have been much shorter if they came straight through my county. But as in my examination, you know, I went back and said, you know, this is some of the reason why. I was concerned. I looked at the fact that, you know, I joined the military, became a veteran, and, you know, some patriotism, and that has a certain effect. Began in the military to read the scripture, and some years after, you know, became a Christian. And as I began to read the scripture, you know, totally forgot Miles' Little Red Book and changed that for the Word of God and began to become more conservative in my thinking about the way that this world should be. And, yes, concerned about now the way that it's kind of turning the other way. And so there's still some examination that I want to do as far as why, you know, I have a concern. Why do I have a concern? And where in that am I walking, am I stepping aside from Christ, from following him straightway in that straight and narrow path? Because I don't want to be concerned in something as far as that is just against Christ. And so in examining ourselves, we have things that we've experienced in our life that it determines the way we think about things today. And so what are those things? You may look and see that there's some things as far as you think may not be the government, maybe something totally different that you can think about and you can see, well, why do I think or feel this way, and why am I motivated this way? And is it right in Christ? And if it's not, then that's where it is as far as we want to make a change and walk directly with Christ, to have him with us. Now, as we examine ourselves, we have to be careful because the natural man, the natural heart, is not it's not concerned with being right. It's concerned with being making oneself feel good or look good, and so we have to be careful of self-deception when it is that we examine ourselves. Like with the thing with the government, do it. I don't want to use my past experience and say, well, that's my justification. I don't want to use my things that perhaps I've suffered through and say that, well, this is good and right. You know, sometimes I get compliments about the way I dress. Okay. And so that's fine. But I have to look. That's the thing. Why do I dress? Why do I wear a coat and tie every Sunday? Is it because I want to impress someone, the congregation or people, or, you know, do I do it, you know, to make myself feel good? And I have to look, and that's a pretty easy examination. You know, it's the way I was raised. It's a part of it. It's the way I was raised in the church when I became a member of the Church of Christ. That was just a culture. I remember when we had a non-member class that we would have on Thursday nights. And I remember when it is that I determined that I wanted to teach that class, I was getting excited about teaching it, you know. And the thing that I should have done is gone to my teacher, to the evangelist there, and talk to him and say, hey, I'd like to teach the class. When do you think I would like to teach? But I didn't do that. You know what I did? I started wearing a coat and tie. I said, you know, when I do this, he'll know that I'm ready to teach that class. And the reason I thought that way is because all the men that were teaching the class, they wore a coat and tie. And so I said, well, you wear a coat and tie, that's when you're ready. didn't work. It didn't work. You know, I don't know if he noticed, but if he did, he ignored me. But then in a few weeks with him and his wife, she said, well, he's ready to teach the non-member class. Yeah, why you say that? He's wearing a coat and tie. And so we talked about it, and I did get to begin to teach that, and it was a great experience. He knew that I could teach it because I taught it off the cuff in, say, like on a Tuesday class. But got to do that, but there's a way, a way I should have went about it that rather than just wearing a tie. But that's it's something that, you know, I've been doing for so long that I don't have any mind to change. Maybe one day I will. I think I've probably, in the service here, I probably have worn a coat and tie all but one time. I remember I wore a sweater, a white sweater, and a jacket, but all but one time. And but we have to be careful of things that will cause us to be lifted up. Jeremiah and chapter 17, I'm going to go over there and read that, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And so this heart, you know, it can be deceitful. You know, I can be thinking that, you know, that's where I was raised, and that's where I was raised in a church. But if I'm not careful, I can still be thinking, hey, you know, it's about this, but it's not really about this. You know, it's about every man presenting themselves as he wants and serving God, because it's really from the heart. It's from the heart where our service. This is not a service. This is to honor God. But the service that God really and truly wants is from the heart. If I'm doing this, I'm dressing the way because it's my heart to do it, and that's great. And you dress the way you dress because that's your heart. You know that God honors you and accepts you and recognizes you in just the way that you, and that's fine. But we have to, in examination, realize that we, as it tells in Romans 12 and 3, that we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought in any matter. And so examination, as far as you know, that we can just kind of thinking that we can make ourselves think that, well, you know, I'm right. I'm right in the way I feel about the government. I'm right in the way I feel about this. I'm right in the way. And that's just a pride or puffing oneself up. And God is not pleased with that. Another way that we have to be careful of when we examine ourselves is that we don't put ourselves down and put faith in Christ down, because we can examine ourselves and we can see things in ourselves maybe that are not good, and we can just tell ourselves we're no good. And that's what Satan wants. For us to say, well, you know, I'm not doing this. I'm not good at that. I'm not godly in this area or that. And so, you know, I can't serve God any further. You know, I shouldn't strive to preach. I shouldn't want to be involved in the Lord's table. I shouldn't, you know, want to teach people about God's word because, you know, I'm not worthy. Sometimes we may look at ourselves and that maybe there's something in us that, and that's what we're to do when we examine ourselves, to recognize some way that we are not walking in Christ. But not to take that I'm not accepted. Because all I have to do is to recognize that, yes, you know, I have a need in this area. What do? I pray. I ask, if I've sinned, I ask forgiveness. If I'm weak, I ask for strength. And so sometimes we can look too much into ourselves and we're not looking at Christ. We're not looking at the mind that he has for us. The way we're told over in Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as his sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so when we look into the word of God, it enlightens our examination. Yeah, we might see that, you know, there's an area that we need to change, but we can, because we have the power to do that through what Christ has done for us. We are accepted. And we realize that, and when we have those weak areas there that would cause us to be depressed, cause us to put ourselves down, cause us to lack faith, we can look to Christ and look to his word and see that, hey, we've been adopted as sons. We're in the family. We are part of God in Christ. And so we can overcome anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Satan will seek to put us down and to cause us to think ill of ourselves, to cause us to think of ourselves differently than God thinks of us. God desires us. He loves us. He accepts us. And he's willing to help us through whatever area that we need to work on. And so that's what we're to be doing, just with faith. Work on those areas, and he will be with us. He'll help us. He'll show us what we need to do. He'll give us understanding. He'll give us strength. And so we, instead of looking so much to ourselves, we got to look to our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 3, In verse 18, it says, but we are with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so, you know, I like to look at this as far as, you know, it talks about them being veiled in the law. And as they continue to read it, they are veiled because they don't understand Christ. They're not seeing that the veil has been taken away in Christ. But we, as beholding in a mirror, we're looking to the Word of God. We're seeing the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into that image. We're being transformed. We're not, you know, we're not ever to think of ourselves as far as I've made it. You know, Paul didn't even think himself that way. You know, but we are being changed. We're growing. We're being renewed. We're overcoming. And that's the way that we're always to be thinking as far as positively, that there's positive force taking place rather than negative, that I'm going backwards, because if I go backwards, it's always because the lack of faith, that I don't trust God the way it is that I should. And so going forward, looking into the mirror of the Word and remembering how we look, make the changes and continue to go forward. Because God, He knows all about us, as was written and read there in Psalms 139. That He knows all about us. He knows our thinking. He knows our motives. He knows where we are in anything. And He's not putting a fist down for us to just change everything and become perfect. It's a work. It's a work in progress. And that He works with us and He allows us time to overcome and to make the changes that we need. And He will guide us. In Psalms in 119. We just always have this mindset right here. Psalms 119 and verses 57 through 60. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought on my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and I did not delay to keep your commandments. That's the mind that we'd have. The Lord is our portion. We want to keep His word. We want His favor always, and we seek it with our whole heart. We think on our ways, and we turn to what's right. And we make haste in doing that and not delaying. That's what God wants from us, to continually be a people who are to think on Him and want Him, desire Him, and to do what is right before Him. And so, yeah, there may be times that like the foolish Galatians that turned and they had lost sight of what they had been shown in Christ in Galatians in chapter 3. And He said to them in chapter 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed among you as crucified. Jesus Christ is truly betrayed to us in His word, in His teaching. That's what it is that we are to follow. And so self-examination is very important. Careful that we do it with an eye toward pleasing God, always in faithfulness, not destroying the work that He has done in us, but building that up. We look to what it is that we have in Christ. We cherish it. We seek to embellish it more and more. And knowing that God Himself, He knows all about us, all about who we are, and that He revealed to us. If there's as He says, if we're anywhere otherwise minded, He will reveal it to us. He will show us. If there's any here this morning that have not begun that walk with Christ, if you have not obeyed the gospel and been baptized and been cleansed by the blood of Christ, there's opportunity for you to today. And so as you would consider what great thing God has done in giving us Christ, and how it is that he has shown us how to become a part of his life, and that is by repenting and being baptized, having our sins washed away, consider that this morning. And if there's anything that we might be able to help you with, any questions, you know, just grab someone and ask them. But if there's anyone that would like that, just let us know, and we can have that taken care of, and having you become a member of Christ, a member of the body.